right, amen. Again, good morning to you. If you would, go ahead and pull out your note sheet there. Some of your faces just look frozen, and I understand that's okay. Keep your jacket on, put it over your legs, do whatever you need to do to get warm. Dad leaned over to me and said, "Son, keep it short, it's cold in here." If you did not receive a note sheet, go ahead, lift your hands up. I want everyone to have something to follow along with. There's some pens and the seat backs there in front of you. I'm just going to pause just a moment. Don't want you to miss any fill in the blank in the first message in 2018. If you just listen, you're going to miss some stuff. You'll forget everything within 72 hours. But if you'll write it down, probability is that this stuff will stick with you, and that God's goodness and clarity will be with you all through the week. Amen. Amen. So, there is one sentence in the scripture that I'm believing and praying will be the theme of 2018. Okay? This is going to be the theme for our church-wide, and I'm praying it's also going to be the theme for your family and for your individual life as well. We're in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. This is what the scripture says. It says, "For freedom, Christ," let's read this together, "for freedom, Christ has set us free." Let's try it again. "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore," let's read it again, "stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Why did Christ set us free? Not a trick question. I want you to look up here. Why? For freedom. Now, that's what we're going to be talking about. Before we leave this, I want to read this in the PCV version. For those who don't know, this is Pastor Charlie's version. This same verse, okay? Galatians 5 and 1. Do we have the PCV version? Okay, I have to. Oh, yes. Right in front of my face. Let's read this together. "Christ set us free so we would" what? "Live," actually live free. "So be vigilant." Be vigilant. "Don't surrender one inch of your life to slavery." Now, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, I don't remember which one it was, but I had a moment just to get quiet, had my journal out, and I wrote down a goal for myself for 2018. You ready? This is it. Hold on now. This is the goal for 2018, and that is to live in complete and total freedom. What does that mean, complete and total? To have the strength in 2018 to be all, not some, to be all that God has created me to be, and also all that I so desperately want to be as well. Okay, so that's going to be kind of like our theme in 2018. So let's say a prayer together. I want you to say this out loud with me. Dear Lord, in 2018, help me to have the freedom to be all that you have made me to be, and also all that I want to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we try that again? Some of us, if you're okay with this, just put your hands out like this, like you're praying. This is a real prayer of this family. We're a family, a church family. This is what we're kind of saying as a family. Let's say it again. Dear Lord, in 2018, help me to walk in freedom so I can be all that you created me to be. And I can be all that I want to be. In Jesus' name, all of us said, come on, all of us said, amen. So let's begin with three declarations. This is just going to be in way of reminder, three declarations of freedom. okay, that we're going to make this morning. The first declaration of freedom because of Christ, we can say all these, and we're going to deep dive on the last one, by the way, and spend several weeks there. But let's just begin. Just the first declaration of freedom is that through Christ, I am free. I'm not waiting to be free, but through Christ, I am already free. These are two very important words. I want you to get them down in your notes. From the power and the fear of what? From the power and fear of death. Now, you already know this, but our bodies have a limited time on this earth. Might be just a reminder for some of us. How many know that health is a very fragile thing? In fact, if you're here and you're in good health, why don't you just stop right now and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I have health and I'm in my right mind. But I just want to remind you that eventually these bodies are going to wear out. This time, our bodies on this earth they're weak. They're weak. So good to have Sister Nancy here with us this morning, but right after, I guess it was Christmas on the 26th, I got a call from her, and she said that we took Brother Bob to the hospital, and some of the family members were noticing that his left side of his face was drooping a little bit, and he had just been through 39 treatments of radiation for prostate cancer, and so they began to check him out and make sure he's all right. Well, by the end of that hospital visit, they had found out that the cancer was spread. It's in his kidneys and all through his lungs and in his brain. And I've always known Brother Bob as a father, really a spiritual father, always a man of just strength. And I was 8 years old. I don't know what it is to be in community church without Brother Bob being here, just a firm pillar. And so we are, as a church family, we're praying for him and believing God's word. I was talking to him and he was saying, you know, the doctors have said this and this, it's stage four and this. He said, but God also has some other things that he says. And I'm choosing to believe in what God says. And I was there with him and others there, and we're just surrounding him with our prayers, and Sister Nancy with our prayers and our love. But I just want to take just a moment and remind all of us that in Christ, we have what Christ says, a gift from him, and that is everlasting life. Jesus came, and those who receive him, he gives the gift of eternal life. And his family, if we take him seriously, we don't have to take him seriously, his words, his teaching, but if we take him seriously, his family will last forever. I was reminded of a funeral that Jesus was attending, and Martha's brother, Lazarus, had died, and everyone's around, and Jesus took a moment to teach Martha something about reality and about life. And he said to Martha, he said this in John, he said, Martha, I am the resurrection. Look at it with me. I am the resurrection and the what? And the life. Those who believe in me will have life even if they... Now, folks, I'm just showing you the scriptures. You have to wrestle with this. It's what Jesus said. Those who believe in me will have life even if they die. And everyone who lives and believes in me. You see, in Christ, you are more than just your body. This body is going to wear out, but in Christ, I will live. The me, the one that's animating this physical body, my person, I'm going to live forever in Christ. I'm sorry. He lives and believes in me, will never die. And then he asks this question, so pertinent. Martha, do you believe this? You see, because if we don't, remember that how we started off. For freedom, Christ came to set us free. Don't surrender one inch of your life to the slavery, what? Of fear of death. Because in Christ, you have been set free. I will live forever in the family of God in Christ. Now, I'm glad some of you are looking at me like he's lost his marbles. This is the 21st century. We still believe in all these daydream stuff. And, you know, I went to school and even went to graduate school and have some degrees on the wall. I've learned, you know, these kind of fairy tale things. Well, listen, doesn't nature itself teach us about resurrection? I know you're struggling with it. You're like, this is just stuff to make people feel good. Oh, really? Or is there evidence of resurrection in the very creation that God has made? Why is there resurrection? Because God is a resurrecting God. That's what he does. And so the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians talks to people, and he says it like this in 1 Corinthians. He says, foolish person. They were arguing with him back then, too. They couldn't believe this. There'd be a resurrection. And he says, foolish person, when you sow a seed, it must die in the ground. Now, folks, disagree with this if you want, but at least be reasonable. Think it through. When you sow a seed, it must die in the ground before it can live and grow. Is it not true? Think about a little seed, a little kernel of seed, a little corn seed. It doesn't even have the same body. You can't even predict what kind of body it would have until it grows up. It's planted in the ground, dies. And when you, look verse 37, and when you sow it, it does not have the same, what? Now, sow it means plant it. So when you sow it, it does not have the same body it will have later. What you sow is only a bare seed, maybe wheat or something else. But God gives it a body that he has planned for it. Now, here it is. It is the same with us. It is the same. Why couldn't it be the same? You see it all the time in nature. Is it that big of a miraculous thing? Oh, how could you believe such a thing? Well, you see it every day. Come on. It is the same with the dead who are raised to life. The body that is planted will ruin and decay. But it is raised to a life that cannot be destroyed. This mortal puts on immortality. The resurrection of life. Let's keep going. So, Apostle Paul says, death. Come on, he's almost gloating at death. Death, come on. You think I'm afraid of you? I'm not going to shrink back into that mindset of slavery again. I know that this body's going to pass away, but I'm going to inherit life. I will never die in Christ. Death, where is your victory? Death, where's your pain? I'm the one laughing at you. Now, here he goes. Death, where's your pain? We thank who? God. He gives us what? The victory. Through how? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, stand strong. There it is again. Go back to Galatians 5:1. Stand firm in that freedom by which you've been set free. Don't allow yourself to become a slave again to fear. Stand firm in that strength and that truth, brothers and sisters. Do not let anything, what? Nothing is going to move you. He goes on to say, always, don't let anything move you away. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know, listen, you know that this life is not all there is. Thank you, Lord. I'm just using this for a second to get warm. Here we go. You've got to know this life is not all there. I'm just beginning my life. It's just getting started. Here, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your work in the Lord is never what? Never wasted. Never wasted. Lord, I'm going to keep serving you. This is not all there is. Love this perspective in Philippians. Let's look at this real quick before we move on. In Philippians, look what Paul says here. He's in jail. He's writing to the Philippian church, and honestly, he's revealing an emotional struggle he's having. He's like, man, I don't know whether I want to die or want to live. And he's kind of we're getting a peek into what he's thinking here. Look what he says. He says, for me to live is what? If I'm going to live, I live for Christ. And to die is what? How could he say that? Look, I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ. Imagine him in chains. I long to go be with Christ, which would be, look at this phrase, what? Which would be what? Far better for me. And I don't have the rest up here, but then he goes on to say, it would be far better for me to go on to be with Christ, but it's better for me to remain here, he tells the Philippians, so I can keep preaching to you the good news and encouraging you and bringing clarity to your life and strengthening you. But I'm still caught between these two. I don't know if I die and go on to be with the Lord, it's far better for me. He goes, to die, I wanted to pick up on this phrase, to die is what? Gain. Now, I want to be careful here. We naturally, and it's okay to feel this way, we view death as loss. But the scriptures view death in Christ as what? A gain. Now, in the Greek, this word gain is a financial term, and it connotates a windfall, a financial just like bonus, the net value of something just explodes off the charts. It's a gain. To die is gain. Now I want to just think for a second. This financial term, for example, Jill and I just recently, right before Christmas, closed on a refinance for our house. We've been in our home 13 years, and I'm talking to the guy, and he's like, seriously, you haven't done this already? And I'm like, no. And I was looking at how much money we could have saved over all those years if we just had refinanced. But anyway, we finally got down to it, and we closed just a couple days before Christmas, and we're saving on our monthly payment several hundred dollars. And that's not a big deal for you, but for Jill and I, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 2018. And a part of the refinance is January. We got to skip January's mortgage payment, and we start in February. So I'll just do one more. Just around. Not a big deal for you guys, but for us, it was a big deal. So, man, but you know what? We did not receive that gain until we came to the closing table and signed the documents, and it was the end of the old contract. There was an ending to the old state that we were walking in, but once we came to the end of the old state and signed the contract, there was a windfall. On the other side, as a new contract began, in Christ, to die is my windfall. It's my bonus. It's my experience. The net value of who I am is not decreased, but it's increased in Him. My life is only just
beginning when I die. Wow, so I'm free. Come on, you're free. Do not allow yourself to get caught up in the fear of death again, because Christ has set you free in Jesus' name. Now, come on, look at your notes there. In Christ, death is not the end. Come on, say it with me. In Christ, death is not the end. It is our. This body, this seed is being planted in the ground, but it, even greater is resurrection to an even what? Greater dimension of life. Declaration number two. You ready? Not just from the fear of death, but the power of death. The power of death. I'm going to live forever. In Jesus' name. Declaration number three is, through Christ, I am free from religion. Some of you are getting tripped up already. You're like, wait a second. Isn't this what this is? In and through Christ, I am free from religion. What does that mean? I am free from striving and working so hard to try to get God to like me, to be happy with me. You know, because God's mad. That's his general characteristic. He's angry. So if I do this, see, here it is. Religion says, do this, do that, and maybe God will hear you or like you. Christianity, real Christianity says, done, accomplished, done, done, done. Jesus has done for me what I could not do for myself. Love's redeeming work of redemption is accomplished. And on the cross, he said, it is finished. Now, hold on. Some of you. So just, I just want to remind some of you, God is already happy. Yeah, I know you can't believe it. That's why church, coming to church habitually, routinely, week in and week out is so necessary to wash the wrong thinking patterns out of our mind. It won't work with just one 30-minute setting. 2018, Lord, let me be a part of your house so you can begin to transform my way of thinking. Jesus did not come to set up a religion. Say it again. Jesus did not come to set up a religion. He came to establish his kingdom where people could live free. I'm free. I'm totally free. Listen, what has you bound? For freedom, Christ has set you free. Well, Pastor Charlie, I'm not really experiencing that freedom. Why not? It's available. Well, I'm not sure it's available. I've kind of heard these things. I'm not sure I believe you. Come on, let's begin this journey. Christ has set us free from religion. Set me free to open up the door of life over my life. Now, some of us in here, we've tried religion. What is religion? Look back at your notes. You've tried whatever religion can take on so many forms. Religion can take on, you know, just kind of going through the motions. It can be like just coming to church. It can be a form of religion. I just come, Lord. I check that off the box, and maybe you'll be happy with me. Listen to me. God is already happy. It's not what you have done. It's what God's Son has done. And God the Father is eternally got a giant smile on his face when he sees what his Son has done on our behalf. Some of you still, you just like, so imagine for a second something that you really wanted done.
Let's say you wanted your kitchen renovated. Anybody out there could stand a kitchen renovated? Nobody, really. You know the new style. Say you know it exactly what you wanted done, and a contractor and an architect and interior designer all came together. The best. They come to your kitchen. You leave for a week, and they just tear out the countertops and all the stainless steel. I mean, all the stuff you can imagine. Just put it all in there. Someone told me first service the best countertops. They said, quartz. Yeah, quartz. Waterfall quartz here. Waterfall quartz there. All of it. It's just amazing. And then you come in. It's just like you wanted. You walk in. How would you feel? I'll be honest. How would you feel? Some of you are so, come on. Take off your coolness and whatever. I'm not listening. Really? You'd be like, wow! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Oh, oh! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! You'd be so happy. Now, imagine when God the Father sees what his son has done. It wasn't a small little kitchen renovation. It was a renovation of the cosmos. Everything has changed with the performance of Jesus Christ, God's son. It is accomplished. And so when God looks down, he sees his son, he goes, wow! Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Look at that life he can change. Oh, wow. And look at that person who invited him into it. Oh, wow. Look how he beautifies that. Oh, wow. And God the Father is eternally happy. Jesus is the end, not the beginning. He's the end of religion. And he's the beginning of the strength and the help of God. Freely offered to anyone who will receive. Receiving is not striving and working for. It's just receiving. Someone needs to walk in a new freedom this morning. It's beginning, but you came. Lord, help me to receive the free gift of God. I've been striving, Lord, and Jesus is the end of my striving, and he's the beginning of my peace. Some of us tried religion, nice architecture, sweet music. I would say nice, quiet music, but we don't have quiet music here. But, you know, nice, you know, Pastor, just play a nice little song, and I'm here in church, and let's check it off the box. And candles, artwork, and nice words. Give me three little rules to live by. You know, nothing wrong with these things. But religion does not have the power of God. The power and the help and the ability just to be free and to rest come in and through Christ. You can try all the other things you want. You can do church membership. Church membership's important. You can do all these things. But until you open wide your heart and surrender to him, say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. When you begin to do that, you are tapping in to the strength and the help of Almighty God. God is so pleased with his son. Now listen to this. God is so pleased with the performance of his son. And all those who honor the son and are in the son and trust in the Son, have God's great smile upon their lives. He who honors the Son also honors the Father. In Jesus' day, there were so many people that were hung up on basically religion, outward forms, trying their best to work their way up to God, please God. I want you to see what Jesus told them. This is Matthew. Jesus said to them, he said, "Come to me, all of you who are what? And what? What's the weary in carrying heavy burdens?" That's not living free. Jesus said, "Come to me." To me, it's a person, me. All of you, weary, I don't care if you're in high school, college, I don't care how old you are, if you're weary and carrying a heavy burden, I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm what? Humble, gentle at heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. Do we have the other verse? For my yoke is what? Think about that. I'm not talking about something that's hard. Some of us would prefer something that was hard if I gave you a list of 33 things that you had to do. Because then you would say, okay, I believe it now. But it's tough to believe that God just loves you just the way you are, that he sent his son to die for you, and he wants to send strength and help into your life, and all you have to do is receive it. My yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is what? Light. He lifts a heavy burden. Now, I was struck by this commercial, a direct TV commercial about cable. And it basically says direct TV has been the best for 17-something years running and has beat cable every time. But some people still prefer cable. Like, and then it shows these ridiculous scenes. And you're like, seriously? Do we have that?
DirecTV has been rated number one in customer satisfaction over cable for 17 years running. But some people still like cable. Just like some people like wet grocery bags. Getting a bad haircut. Overcrowded trains. Turnstiles that don't turn.
Oh, yeah.
And spilling coffee on themselves. But for everyone else, there's DirecTV. For number one rated customer satisfaction over cable, switch to DirecTV and for a limited time get a $100 reward card.
So
call 1-800-DirecTV.
So that's a DirecTV has been rated. In Jesus, there is help. There's forgiveness. There's clarity. There's light. There's salvation. There's hope. And yet, some of us still live our lives. We're still going to make a choice in 2018 to allow things to continue as they were. All the groceries falling on the floor. Yes! Yes! This is the way it must be. Yes! Come to me. Jesus says, come to me. You can go to a lot of things and religion won't do it. But a relationship with God through me and through his family, you can receive the help and the strength of God, and you can walk in a freedom that you have hitherto not known. In Jesus' name. Come on, get warm. Get warm. Clap it, clap it. Number three, declaration number three, through Christ. Through Christ. Oh, Lord, thank you for the gift of God in Christ. Through Christ, I am set free to be the best version of me. Through Christ, I am set free to be the best version of me. All that God has created me to be, I can be in Jesus' name. Now, this is where we're going to camp out, because most of us right here are just like, I'm not sure how. Well, wait a second. Go back to Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ came to set us free. Free to do what? Man, some of us have been held back our entire life, and this is going to be the year. This is going to be the pivot year. Free to be the person God designed you to be. I want to ask you, what's holding you back? That's where we are. That's where we're beginning. We're going to continue next week. Come on, don't look at me like that. Nothing's holding you back? Okay, well then for the rest of us, let me talk to the rest of us. What's got you tripped up, bound up? So what's that thing that you haven't been able to overcome, to get beyond? And let's not just make it so super spiritual, like, you know, just let's get very practical and ordinary in our lives, because Jesus likes to get down and free us in the very ordinariness of who we are, so we can be all that he designed us to be. What you think about some of these things? Some of us have an annoying tick that just, it keeps us from getting that promotion. I don't know who that is, but you know what it is. And Pastor, I wish I could get over this thing. It just keeps holding me back from that new level, that place. Some of us are routinely snap or lose it with those we love. And you've been dealing with it so long. Some of us in here, you've already given up to a place of, the scripture uses the word slavery. And you've forgotten the hope. I'm just reminding you, for freedom, Christ came to set us free. Some of us are just giving in to, forgive me here, I'm just going to say it, just colossal waves of laziness. We're good for a while, but we're watching too much TV, playing too much video games, investing too much time in social media, and it's keeping you back. You're not really living free from accomplishing all that God created and destined you to accomplish. Some of us are struggling with crippling anxiety. Folks, I want you to hear my heart. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to struggle with it. But some of us have reached the place where it's gotten the upper hand, and so now we've just shrunk back instead of stepping into the place and you're not living free. You're not getting water baptized. You're not taking your next step and joining the church. You're not going to take a step out and start that business. You're not, whatever that is, it's just got you locked up. You're not speaking up. Some of us are chronically running at breakneck speed, so stressed out. Some of us, it's our diet. Some of us are just simply drinking too much. It's keeping you back. If you're honest down in here, you're not living free. Working too much. Some of you just say, Pastor, I'm all of them. I'm just all tangled up. Listen, instead of living free, the walls that we have allowed to stand are now closing in on us. And it's limiting who I am. Oh my God. It's limiting what God called me to be. And the Holy Spirit of God is, Lord, I pray, come into this place, Lord, now. Jesus came to help us tear down those limitations and to rise and live the life he's called us to live. Here's a declaration. You see it there in your notes? Do we have the declaration? Come on, let's say this out loud together as a church. I'm going to walk in a new level of freedom in 28. You don't have to. You don't have to, honestly. But you can. You can. Listen to me. You can. In and through the Son. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, let's read it one more time. I'm going to walk in a new level of freedom in 2018 in Jesus. In Jesus' name. Are you ready? The journey is beginning right now. What's the first step in the journey? Congratulations. This is the first step, just being in God's house. God's house is a house of freedom. Come down, come in here, and just put down the weights. Don't pick them back up when you leave either. Just leave them here. And as you leave God's house, walking, here's the first step. So what we're going to do as a church family, the first step is we've got these walls outside here, outside those double doors right there. This is an assignment. Look on your note sheet. It's an assignment. Before you leave God's house today, this is the first step. Through those double doors and through those double doors right there, there's a ginormous wall on each side, and they both say, why can't I just dot, dot, dot? Do we have that slide? Yes. So, why can't I just dot, dot, dot? The letters are like this big. They're on the wall out there, okay? And so what we're going to do is, is that like super small? Can you see that? I'm going to read it. If you can see it, you can read it with me. What is holding you back? What's that barrier that you can't seem to push through? The hurdle that you can't get over. These hang-ups can keep us from living the life we were intended to live. So what do you need to let go of? What do you need God's help to overcome? So this text and this wording is right outside those walls, and there's markers and there's pens there. And before you leave, this is what I'm asking you to do, is right on the wall in God's house. This is going to be the first assignment we have in walking in freedom in 2018, is to write it down on that wall. Now do it anonymously. You got that? You weren't going to put your name on there anyway. That's okay. But we don't want to know your name anyway, okay? Go outside there. I want you to think of, Lord, what is holding me back? Put it on the wall there. Write it down. It could be one. It could be two. It could be several things that you want to walk. Whatever's on that wall is we're going to begin to walk in freedom in 2018. You say, well, how's that going to happen? I'm going to talk more about it next week. But today's assignment is to put it on the wall right after service. Let's pray. Let's pray. Phones off, Bibles closed. This is a holy moment. Shackles come off. Chains be broken. Wrong patterns of thinking be corrected. In Jesus' name, Spirit of the living God, come into this place. And Lord, I pray, God, that all those who run to your house and call on your name, Lord, that they're going to experience the salvation and the strength and the freedom of God like they never have before. Help is on the way in Jesus' name. Come on, all of us said, amen.